skyrocketed. I just don't have enough. Enough what? Enough everything. Enough happiness. Enough power. Enough me. There's just not enough of meanness to go around. There's not enough anywhere to make me, to make me happy. The narcissist in people took off like a poison, and it's been out of control ever since. The toxic entitlement has never, ever been under control since. This has done our country in. And in order to manage repressing the next natural stage of evolution, which we should have progressed in psychically, it became the decade where the pharmaceuticals took over. Instead of evolving, let's drug you. Instead of recognizing these symptoms as spiritual depth charges, where you begin to understand that there is such a thing as good pain. Instead of this limited, tiny little understanding you have of life, that it's all about pleasure. It's all about feeling good. It's all about being happy. No, it's not. Who told you that? Where's your discernment, Jesuit style? Where's your discernment where you understand this pain is calling me inward? I need to go in now. I need to follow this deeply into myself. Something in me is not congruent, and I need to find out what that is. This is not a pain I drug. It's a pain I listen to. This one's talking to me because if I listen to it, it will take me to where a disease will not form. And if I don't listen to it, it will brood and it will fester and it will become a disease because it is telling me, follow me. I am a candle in your night. And I will take you to a place where you are lying to yourself. And together, we will straighten out that lie. If I were your spiritual director, I would say, we're going to follow that candle. It's a good one. Don't you dare drug it. What is this cowardice I see in your eyes? That is what has made you sick. The cowardice of following these candles in the night. Of saying such candles will destroy you. No. These are the candles that awaken you. That awaken you. But the narcissist says they'll be the end of me. Well, hopefully they will. There's a lot about the narcissist in you that should come to an end. It's harmful. You needed it. It's an essential stage. This is what you need the narcissist for. And this is the purpose it serves. Well, in the journey of transformation, in that third stage, you will discover, I need to change. I need to leave that person and that place, that being that I was. There'll be a lot of people, or one person, or some system. The familiar will not let you go easily. And you will not leave the familiar easily. And that's one of the reasons why, by instinct, you will ritualistically put on something from the new world you're going into. You'll dress differently. You'll do some kind of makeover. If you're trying a new spirituality, you will drape something of that spiritual tradition around you. You'll put a bead, a bell, a cross, something that says, I'm visiting a new arena. You'll do something that anchors you into the new world you're going into. Because you need to pull yourself out. Familiar people, family will say, what do you think you're doing? What if you decide to go for a cleanse, that you decide, you know what? I'm just going to change my lifestyle. I don't like the way I'm living. I got to get healthy. I may be a vegetarian for a while or not eat any white food. I'm going to be different than you. In that narcissistic stage, when you announce to the world you live in, big, small, or otherwise, expect them to say, who do you think you are? It's archetypal. You are pulling away from your tribe. You're pulling away. So the purpose of that narcissistic self is to steal you, S-T-E-E-L, to steal you, to endure the pull away. And also to endure what you have to scaffold that fundamental inner self that says, who am I now? What if you pull away and you are alone and you really have to discover a level of stamina to make it through and you find out I am alone? For some people, that journey really is one of arduous self. I got to pull myself together. I'm alone here. You know, it's not all the vanity journey. For some people, it is really one of, oh my God, I've got to take care of these kids. I got to find myself. I have to find my soul. I've got to pull myself together. And they discover that narcissism opens up and fades away to discovery of a level of self-respect and self-esteem they didn't know they had. And they would have never, ever found it. But that initial stage of the bows and arrows, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You have to have that first shell of, yes, I am, because you may be the only one who believes in you for that first stage of that journey of transforming yourself from someone who may have been more dependent, more frightened, to that fundamental stage of where you have to discover you are able. You're more able-bodied than you'll ever realize. The transformed you is someone who has all of these inner resources in you you did not know you had, but they're never found until you're put into the place to find them. Flowers don't come up unless you have a garden, right? You could have a whole nursery of flowers in you, but you require a garden, and those gardens can be very difficult places. They can be very difficult. So that essential stage of the narcissist is also a stage where you would discover a level of self-respect you never knew you could feel about yourself. That's the point of getting through the it's all about me. At first, it has to be. But a lot of people don't get through that to discover the next stage of, whew, that's done, and get out of that shell into the next stage, which is, I really like myself. I really like myself. I've got what it takes to make some really tough choices, rely on myself, stick to myself, and believe in myself. I really like myself. That's that third stage. Now, this is a very profound stage because at this stage, I want to weave in a higher intuition and healing. I'm going to connect these two threads right here because this is the point of transformation where it actually makes a difference. This is where you are transforming, where you yourself begin to think, I'm beginning to notice that I have a different level of inner something to me. It's at this point where the toxins in the world can become more toxic to you, and yet you can heal faster. Things change for you right here. Get over yourselves and become what you really are inside. Use what you've got. We need every ounce of your strength, every ounce of your stamina. There's still time to make a difference. Everything you do matters. Everything you pray matters. Everything you say matters. And everything you are matters. You just don't get how much. I do. I wouldn't be up here screaming at you. In this world, every single thing you do and say matters, because we are so spiritually intimate. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it, and you can't taste it. But if you really want understand a spiritual path, then you have got to get that the real one is this path of rigor, where you finally make the decision, I'm not looking back anymore. I'm not looking back. I haven't got time anymore to spend on what I haven't had, what I think I should have, what I'm mourning about that didn't work out. No. None more of that. My life becomes devoted now. Now. To what I can do for every human being, some way or another, that God puts in my path, whether by prayer or by grace. It's how you step out of the narcissist. What has God given me inside that I have through which I can heal this world, heal my world, and heal me? How do you want to use me? You're alive now at what, without a doubt, is an axial shift in the history of human civilization. This is it. And you're alive now. People will write about this time. They will wonder, what were we thinking? What were we doing? How did we navigate? How could people not have seen this coming or that coming? What were they thinking? You have to be one of the thinking ones. You are. You're with me. I'm one of the screaming thinking ones, but I cannot rest because I see it so clearly. And I believe everyone who I am privileged to teach is a jewel that needs animating. And that's what that third stage, from the narcissist to soul self-esteem, is about, whether your decision in healing in this parallel reality we live in is when you finally get, I have what it takes to be an agent of healing, not just for myself, but for all those and for this world. And you accept that role. And then we move on to the fourth stage. The core of our soul psyche forever moves forward because you can't stop transforming. So we are anchored in this energetic new land. We can't get out of it now. This is our new home. We can't leave here. You can't go back and decide, I won't ever think in terms of thoughts over form. I'm going to cease thinking about chakras now. It's too late. You see, this is your new home. And the only option you have is to move forward. Let's think about this for a minute. All right? It's not a linear world. It's a hologram. You can't say, where am I? Am I done with this stage? These aren't stages that are linear. They are pulsating realities unto themselves. And you're not used to thinking that way. You are used to thinking that you go into something and then you complete it and it's done. These are stages that are far more the way in which Teresa of Avila explained the mansions. They are deeply experiential expressions of light-filled consciousnesses, of vibrational fields, to which your mind would say, yeah, but where are they? Just give me the address. Tell me the rules. Give me the address. Where's the entry and where's the exit? Okay. That's not the way a field of consciousness that has no matter to it, no boundaries. It doesn't work that way. So as I return us to wrap up the second stage of involution, I wanted to mention associated illnesses or stress factors, because here you would tend to look for physical disorders, when in fact I want to emphasize that in this realm, what we are talking about is a deeply profound process of transformation that is unfolding in you psychically, spiritually, transforming how you relate to the whole of your experience of being alive, to how you relate to matter itself, to your relationship with creation, to guidance, to your intuition, to how you relate to God. All of this is being transformed. It's not about your ego and your happiness. How you're able even to conceive of what reality is being transformed. How you're able to appreciate a mystical truth, what is in one is in the whole. Thus, every part of me is actually in every part of you. Thus, whether or not I'm honest, whether or not I cheat on my taxes, is in some way affecting the whole of this planet. Now, in the previous world, pre-nuclear age, pre-now, you actually were allowed to get away with believing that you could cheat on your taxes because everybody did it and it didn't make any difference. You can't do that here because the rules are different. Because now you're not dealing with a rule, you're dealing with the truth. In the other world, it was rules. In this world, it's truth. The stakes are higher. You can't tell yourself now that what you do doesn't matter. Because now it's as if you're being taken behind the scenes and shown the energetic weaving of the way things really are. Absolutely, it matters. Everything matters. Find one thing that doesn't matter, and you get a tour. Everything matters. It matters so much that your only option is to surrender to God and say, you take over, because I can't manage down here. Really, I can't manage. This is overwhelming. This is so overwhelming, I don't even want to go here. Because when I look at this, I can only incur debt karma down here because I don't know what I'm doing. So you have to hover over me. Because left to my own devices, I will simply want everything for myself. And I will forget that what's in one is in the whole, and as above, so below. I'll start telling myself a bunch of lies. What Buddha says, illusion. That second stage of involution. The stresses you get here as you evolve into a level of conscious choice here, inner choice, in a way when you begin to realize, I think I'm in charge. Not of choosing what I want because I'm a rebel, because I'm a brat, because I simply get to choose because I'm entitled. I'm in charge of choice because what is in one is in the whole. Because every choice I make has creative consequences in the world of energy and matter. That's why I choose consciously. Not because I've been wounded, not because I've got it coming to me, not because I'm entitled, none of those reasons, but because what is in one is in the whole, because I am a creative being of life. Because I must choose, because I know that if I make choices out of love and compassion, and never even mind love, because it's impossible for me to feel love for humanity. I can barely feel love for the people I love half the time. But give me, God, grant me at least a heart capable of softness for humanity. Let me just start there. Let me see the faces of mothers and know they love their children as much as I love mine. Let me just start there. Let me just relate to that, mother heart to mother heart. Let me relate in some way to all of these people so that when I make my everyday choices, my human heart to human heart is woven to theirs. So that my acts of kindness nurture their acts, that in some way all of my acts of grace, in some way, these choices I am involuting with consciousness, offset all the dark psychic free radicals that humanity generates by mindless judgments and constant hatred that feed and fuel the rise of dark leaders, the rise of raging righteousness that says we have the right to destroy, that any culture has the right to destroy another. Involution, when you go inside, it should be a time of reflection where you get in touch with the authentic inner voice, because that's what transformation is about. You take your outside five senses and you recognize, you guys get me in trouble. I respond to what I see and think, and all that stuff is bad data. It's not good enough data for me. It's great when I'm adding up my checkbook, but it actually doesn't tell me if it's wise to buy that stuff. It's my inner data that I want, and I'm animating that, and it takes reflection. I have to involute. And when I don't pay attention to that, and I start twisting that data, now follow my language metaphorically and go into that part of your body. When you start twisting your intuitive hits because you don't like them, what's going to happen to that part of your body? You have to twist your wires down there because you don't want them to be clear. You're going to twist your wiring because you don't want it to be clear. I don't want to hear that directly. So you'll start jamming your circuits, twisting your wiring. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. And the nerves begin to increase because guidance is like homeopathic electricity. It's got to go somewhere, start going into your skin. Skin eruptions. You start getting skin crises. Damage down here, nerves, colon, indigestion, food sensitivities. The inability to make decisions you know you need to make. The third stage. Let's go to the third now. Narcissism. In the journey from narcissism to higher self-esteem, it's a real challenge to get out of the warm cocoon of the narcissist. Because for so many people, that's the first time they start getting attention. When they start speaking of their victim, we've developed a culture that's made it very comfortable for wounds and for the victim. Suffering gets a lot of privilege. So it's very, very difficult to say, you know, I think I've privileged out here. I think this is enough. I think for my own sake, I need to get out of this. I got to stop this and move on. and move through, or where you realize I have given myself enough me first stuff, and I have to start including the needs of other people a little bit here too. Now, there are many, many people who care for the needs of other people. So I need to just add something here. There are many, many caretakers in the world. I am one of them. But what we're talking about here in the world of transformation is a different type of care. I'm not talking about, let me bring you some chicken soup. Let me tuck you in. Let me take you to the grocery store. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a very different type of capacity to care that says, I recognize you need to be set free. The time has come for your journey to let you go. Just like I would want support when it's time for me to be let go. We're talking about transformation here. Okay. We're talking about the support it takes to look at a soul and say, are we still good for each other? Is this what our higher purpose requires? With transformation, you're developing yourself so that your intuitive center is an active participant in your life. This is about a constant active participant in the way you live, just like your eyesight is. Just like hearing, just like touch, it is now an official sense. Do you just use your nose so that you don't lose money or you find someone you can marry or have a relationship with? Is that how you use your ears? No. You don't even think about these senses. They are simply your maneuvering senses. You just simply engage. That's where you live. They are simply operating. You never think about them as the vessels through which to gain some kind of advantage over others in terms of making decisions regarding money and relationships. Somehow, New Agers have stacked the deck when it comes to intuition with romance, finance, and every other life decision. As if it's some kind of magic oracle of Delphi. As some kind of protective nonsense. Your intuition is the most highly functioning system in you. Do you ever have to be told you've done something negative? That you've lied to someone? Do you feel it? Do you ever have to be told, I shouldn't eat this? Your system tells you. It gives you that feedback in a microsecond. Do you ever have to be told you've done something good? You spotted a homeless person, you dug into your pocket and you gave him $5. You walk away from there and something in you said, that was really the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. You just knew it, not because you were just so generous. It was deeper than that. Maybe it was one of your great life tests. Maybe that's when the moment had come, because it always comes in disguise. It always comes in disguise. Let's test your generosity. You think you're so generous? Watch this. A vagabond crosses your path. You look in your wallet. All you have is $5, 10, 20. That's it. No change. You look at the vagabond, you look at your wallet, vagabond wallet. You just blew $40 on a lunch. Oh my, here's a hungry person. You just shoved $40 down your throat. You wasted half of it. You said, I can't eat it. No, I'm not going to take it home. And here's a hungry human being. Who knows? Maybe the person didn't eat for 2 days. Please, do you have anything? What are you going to do? Every part of you feels the signal. Feed that human being. Feed them. You know how much money I gave you? How many opportunities I pour into your life? I said, feed that human being. You hear the signal. Don't tell me you don't hear this. Do not go there. I will never believe you. Further, I will tell you, you heard the signal before you crossed the street, before you saw that human being. God screams at each of us to feed the homeless. Feed my people. Be my hands in this world. This is your third chakra. Do you think you developed this so that you don't make a bad financial decision in your life? I don't care if you ever hear that one, but you will hear this one. And when you follow it and you reach and you grab your 10, your 20, and you say, here, take it. You feel a flood of grace into you, not as a reward. Oh, you good little girl. You feel that flood that said, well done, you heard me. And then that's it. Then get out of the way and go home. And then you close your eyes and you say, whatever you need. Whatever you need. You don't close that voice under any circumstances. What do you want next? $100? Put it in my wallet. It's all yours. I don't care. I don't have attachment. Your job, you stay unattached. Third center. That's why you move into, I got to get out of narcissism. God, make me have that self-esteem. That says, no matter what you ask, I trust. I trust. Give me that voice. And in that center, if you don't listen to your own, you're going to feel it, and you're going to feel it here, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad, big bad. This is where you feel, I've betrayed myself. This is your center of self-betrayal. I've betrayed myself, and it hurts. It hurts big. This is where food difficulties, eating anxieties, digestive problems, they come here. I betrayed myself. The fear of being seen through. The fear of betraying yourself so that you can't go near people because what if they will control you? What if you can't hold yourself near somebody? The fear of intimacy. I'm afraid that I will give what's left of myself to this person and I will be a marionette, an energetic marionette. No matter what this person wants or says, I don't have the stamina in me to say one thing without always pleasing them. You want this? You want that? Yes, 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 whatever you want. Because I have nothing left of me. I simply need to be taken care of. So whatever they want, I've compromised myself to the point where I'm hollow. And so you are hollow. And you lose one organ after the other. No. If you were my spiritual directee, I would grab you and I would say, it's time for a little narcissism. I have to do narcissism to self-esteem. We're going to have to start with a revolution. Then we're going to work our way up to an involution. Then we're going to stage a little narcissism, a little healthy you. We're going to build you up. And then we're going to move you on to self-love of the right sort, where you love yourself enough to make the choices you need to move on. Now we move to the next stage, the fourth stage. It's called integration, where you take all of this and as if you say, okay, now that I've got all this on the journey of transformation, and you feel like you've just been beaten up in a sense. You feel like you've just left the world you knew. You feel like you've just been through so much. And you have. And you have. But at that stage, I would say to you, okay, let's sit down and let's integrate everything. Let's just put everything into the beginning of a functioning new you. We're in the fourth center. We're in the heart. We're going to have to put in new wires now. We're going to have to kind of reroute you. We have to start seeing life through a new emotional lens. Because up until this time, the way you understood love was, do they love me? That was your first question about love. Is there anyone out there who loves me? Do they love me? Will they still love me? If I make this decision, am I still loved? Will they still love me? Where will they be? How will I function alone? Is there anyone? Will I be alone? It was all about, will you still be loved? Love is external, coming towards you. You have no concept of love as a fountain force, a genuine grace pouring out of you that you give away. You simply give it away, no strings attached. That's an incomprehensible notion. And the reason it is because you're anointed with that kind of giving. It's really awakened. It's not something you can choose to be, believe it or not. This is what transformation's about. You are transformed into a person you were not before this journey started. Not unlike a near-death experience. Now, I had brought up this little point of transition right here between the third and the fourth. This point of wiring, where I said this is a game changer, where healing and higher intuition have the potential of sparking off in a huge way between the third and the fourth stage for you, of making a great transition between you always focusing on healing yourself versus simply on healing. On what is healing? On using your intuition just for you, just to protect you, self-serving, to simply opening your intuitive sense without a constant chronic agenda. You simply get that you've moved to a new world. And that is an operating system in the new world, period. That's it. You are an intuitive being. Stop being amazed by it. Stop studying it. Stop acting like it's a gift from your great-grandmother. Stop making up mythologies in your head that you're special if you're intuitive. Stop thinking it's because of carrots and not eating McDonald's. Stop it. It's this way because we're this way. We are intuitive by design, not by reward. Every single soul that incarnates is wired for intuitive perception. Souls coming in now are being born in a storm because we're between worlds. We're still half in the fossil world and not yet wired for the solar. Pay attention to this. Pay attention. Know where you are. Know what's happening. Use your intuitive self to navigate this storm, to recognize when someone is having a storm attack, when their electrical system is in crisis. Integrate yourself in this world, and that integration means you have to merge yourself with the mythologies, with the functioning of the outside world. You have to expand your immune system to include the global village. You are one with all. What's happening on the outside is happening on the inside. If the nation is in crisis, somehow a part of you will feel that. You cannot run away and hide. You cannot hold yourself to a spiritual mythology that says, I am part of the whole, and then run away and close a door and think that changes that higher truth. You cannot have things both ways. You cannot say, I am living a holistic life, but only where my health is concerned, which is what most people do. For them, holism, the body, mind, spirit, trinity, model, template, is something they only pull out at a health center. They don't have the body, mind, spirit template in their law office. They don't have it in their corporate office. They don't have it in the bank. They don't have it in relationships. They don't have it as a functioning, operative template of reality. It's simply when they're in crisis, pull it out and treat an illness with it as if it's a magnifying glass. You don't get that you now live in this world. And that concept of integration, this fourth stage to integrate, is now the law of your land. When you are not integrated, when an idea is not integrated, when a relationship is not integrated or integral to your life, it's not going to stay there. So let's pursue this one step further. When something is not integral to your life, or you to another, you won't stick around. You won't be allowed to stick around. Let me say this again, because it could strike you as a bit shocking. Integral and integrated are cousins. They mean essential. They mean harmony. To be integrated and integral means that you are, or something is, a factor essential to the harmony of a system. This is the template by which you are now living. You are saying, I acknowledge that this is the way my biology works, my body, mind, and spiritual center is operating as an integrated whole. This is a creed. You have to understand, you are attached to this now. It is a functioning operative principle in your psyche, in your biology, in your emotions. This is a functioning operative principle. It has cause and effect to it. It has magnetic attraction to it. It is an operating law in your world, in your universe. It is now operating within your relationships. Let me translate this again for you. It means that if something is in your life that does not serve the integration of the whole, it can't be sustained in your life and it will be removed. It simply won't fit. And you won't fit into someone's life if you are not integral to their lives. Because you don't fit in the harmony patterns of their life. You throw their Tao off, or they throw your Tao off. And our previous world that we left, this wouldn't make any sense to you. You would think that you are in charge of everything, that relationships are in your life, and that if they're not in your life, it's because you're doing battle over money, sex, betrayal, infidelity, whatever. It wouldn't occur to you. You would never think that I feel the rhythm of the Tao moving, and our animus, our Tao, is falling off balance. We are no longer in harmony. So it's time to go. How about that for a way of thinking? Now that's a transformative way of thinking. Now let me add something. And that if we fight this parting, we're going to get sick. Because we're fighting what we intuitively know is a call toward a natural separation. It's time to go. We have gone our distance. If I want to hold you here, I will now have to play dirty. In order for me to do that, I have to violate and begin wounding you. I have to now do things I know are aggressive, ugly, nasty, dark, wounding. I have to go into sadistic behavior. I have to make you feel awful. And I have to violate my own intuition because my own intuition has signaled me that this is right. It's time to go. But instead, what I will do is go reach way back into my childhood, find a wound, scream abandonment, start battering you, make you feel bad, call in the reserves, family and friends, scream out wounds, all the while knowing that our parting is in fact the right thing. Now, what I've just presented you with is what it's like to fly at the speed of your intuition, of the higher altitude, of the integrated self. The integrated self gets that. You get it in a minute. You get it. You may not want to get it that fast, but you get it. You have to battle the old self coming in from the old world and saying, I don't want things to change that fast. That's too bad. Because when you deal with the realm of energy, I told you, there is no watch. There is no time. You get something and it changes that fast at the speed of light. And you heal at the speed of light. And you get it at the speed of light and your life changes at the speed of light. And that's why people can heal at the speed of light. They can make the choices they need to make at the speed of light. So I'm not going in the right direction. My Tao is off. Okay. What do I need to do to repair? What do I need to do to make this right? It's very, very difficult to work with these laws at the speed that you can't actually perceive them. Very difficult. Most people run back to the old world and say, I can't, it's too bright. The light is too bright. The speed is too fast. Can we find a middle ground? Can we find a middle ground? But all of you can relate to exactly what I'm saying. And I tell you this so that you know you're already wired. And you all know what I'm talking about. So that what needs to be filled in is your faith and trust in yourself. And in the God you have yet to really come to know. The stress in this part, as you can well imagine, is anxiety. It begins to go deeper and deeper here. Because here, where you're betraying yourself, imagine when you are telling your heart to stop telling you the truth. Imagine what happens when you start telling your fourth chakra to stop telling you the truth. When you begin to implant messages in your heart chakra that are simply not truth. Remember that these energy systems, your chakras, are systems that are fundamental truth tellers. And when you start sticking messages into them, like paper shredders, all right, so I want you to picture them as paper shredders. And you're sticking these notes in there that says, that's not how I feel. That's not how I feel. That's not how I feel. I'm not that angry. Fourth chakra. I'm not that angry about this. I really can stay in this job. I don't feel that bad. It's really okay. And your fourth chakra starts spinning out of control like a windmill. What? What would that cause? I want you to just think. With a little common sense. In fact, I don't want you to think at all. I want you to reflect softly and deeply. Go into reflection. Take a deep breath and fall into reflection and go into your heart. I want you to tell your heart a lie. Tell your heart a lie. It's talking to you now, and it's telling you something you don't want to hear that you really feel. And then you're going to argue with your heart. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. You could feel your heart is a truth teller. Or go back and remember a lie you did tell your heart once upon a time and the struggle that you had. I could endure this marriage for another 5 years. Your heart, what? Maybe you could, but I'm out of here. You can stay here in the physical form, but I'm out of here, and I will tell you what I'm going to do, says your heart to the body. I'm not going to pump as well. Because what I need to do is numb you. Here's our agreement. You're going to stay here, then I will numb the feeling. I'll start jumping. I'll start closing the arteries down. So fine, you want to stay here? That's fine. But I'm going to start closing down the arteries. Here's your dialogue. And I assure you, that's exactly what happens. You cannot talk about this journey of transformation and consciousness and not realize that's what it's about. It's about becoming conscious. This is what it feels like. This is what it tastes like. This is what it looks like in your skin and in the world around you. Becoming conscious of feeling the Tao is balanced between us. Or what if it's not? Of feeling your intuition and saying, you know, it feels good here or it doesn't. But what are you using? Not logic. And when you learn to read the Tao in a room, learn to recognize when you're attaching to a spectacle that you should just let pass because your ego is so hypersensitive that it's out of control, that you should reel your ego back in. That you're making a mountain out of a molehill and it's going to cost you a lot more than you ever thought possible. That you're anchoring yourself into something no one else is ever going to remember but you. And you're going to build it up in your head like a fantasy story. And in order to even explain to yourself why you've done such a foolish thing, you're going to have to embellish the story in your own head. And every time you tell someone, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Because you're embarrassed. Now we move to the next stage. From integration, we move to evolution. Now imagine if our society that had become so narcissistic in the 80s had managed to move through that narcissism where the metro males were born and the sense of instantaneous money, get rich fast, McMansions and bigger, where we peaked at oil in the 70s, where we should have used common sense and said, this is serious. Instead, we came out with the Hummer. We came out with vessels that used 1 gallon per mile. How stupid could we be? But that's the result of an ego out of control that said everything that's happening to the rest of the world doesn't apply to us. They may have to continue to pay more and more for oil, but not us. They may have to cut back. But not us, because that's just not what we do, not us. But what if in that decade of mass narcissism, we had managed to get a grip on ourselves and really burst through past our unbelievable narcissism and gotten into that visionary real self and said, you know what? We're running out of oil. Let's take a leap on the energy era. Let's use the best of our creative pioneering instinct, Because if there's no oil, there's nothing. We've got to have the next step. Let's get there. Let's be the first on the moon there. Let's do it again. Let's go find a way to put in place the next energy economy, because it's going to take 30 years to wire this society to the next economy. We could have done that, but we retreated into narcissism. It's really not going to happen, and certainly not to us. And in a sense, that's what we did with healing. That's what we did with so many things in the 1980s. The pharmaceuticals influenced holistic health. We could have blended into mysticism, the body, mind, spirit. We could have animated the spirit, but instead we went body, mind, mind. We decided the mind was going to heal everything. We copped out on the body, mind, spirit. We decided to go spa. We should have had a leap on cancer by now if we really believed in the body, mind, spirit. But instead, we are more addicted to pain medication now than we ever were. We're more depressed. We're more fragile. We're not stronger people than our elders. We're weaker. We don't have the endurance they did. We break far more easily. We're hypersensitive to the point where we can hardly be spoken to. What have we become? What did we do to ourselves? What did we do? We dwell on our wounds as if no other people on earth had ever been harmed. As if we're the first generation to ever have a bad time, a rough time, or a disappointing time. We emphasize everything that's sad about our childhood and nothing that was good. We had other choices, and we didn't make them. So in the next decade, the 90s, we could have made great stages of evolution. And it's the next stage for you in your journey of transformation, the stage of evolution. To evolve past patterns, out of habits, out of the self. There's no longer essential. Opportunities, inner opportunities to evolve. Get on with it. Get on with it. Make choices that are essential to the evolutionary journey. It's a challenging stage. Where you say to yourself, I got to get on with this now. But I said, what do you have to get on with now? You just know it. It's time for this. That's it. I've spent enough time with this. I got to get on with this. I've integrated this. I've got the wiring in place. Now I've got to get, well, what? With kicking a habit, with kicking an addiction, with finally getting on with exercising, with finally introducing new habits, with finally deciding I'm going to write this book. I'm finally going to take my hand out writing the novel that it's been sitting in my head. What? You've got the evolutionary stage means you're incarnating your next self. You've got to bring it out of the air. You've got to bring it out of the air. Or the evolution will somehow go in you. And it becomes the missed opportunities that plague you, because it will evolve. Something will evolve. If you look at the world, it could have evolved in an energy future. But instead of picking up its destiny, it shall live its fate. You could say, God, she's a pessimist. No, I'm not. I'm a realist. I call it the way it is. We had plenty of opportunities to recognize we are running out. Those glaciers are melting. And they say, no, they're not. Okay, fine. crash into the ocean, crash into the ocean, polar bears clinging to small pieces of ice. Okay, that's not happening. Whatever.